Praise God. Have you ever asked God, what's going on? Why does it feel like I keep bumping up against a wall? Why am I not getting anywhere in this? Lord, I'm trying to change. I'm trying to do all this. I'm doing this. And you don't seem to get anywhere. Well, as I had a different message for last week, and I thought, well, I'll just use that for this week. Well, you know God, it doesn't always work. So one thing that just went over and over, and actually, just so you know, your kids are getting this right now, because Angela told me what she was teaching on, said, God said, that's what you're teaching on. I said, okay, and that doesn't usually do anything. But anyhow, we can fight, we can war, we can try to do things, but if we don't let God, it doesn't change. Before David slew Goliath, he said, the battle is the Lord's this day, and God will show you that he does not deliver with the sword and the shield. Even though that was the instrument that seemed to be used, other than the rock that hit Goliath between the eyes, right? And the reality is, God will use what God uses, but there's something we have to exercise first, and that's our faith. That's our trust in him in all situations. You know, we're coming up on a year with, in March, with Justin's accident. That was a faith walk. Kids playing the drums, working on getting a CDL. And he should have been dead. But you see, I don't take credit for what took place, because I had to be quiet. I had to shut my mouth. I've been around people all my life that said, oh, you need to speak forth the word of God. You need to speak out. I couldn't. I couldn't speak anything. I put on the brave face like you're supposed to, right? I knew in my heart that God was going to take care of him. I didn't see a 6'3" boy. I saw that little baby that we brought in. And I had to be quiet, because there was something God had showed me a long time ago. Because I dared at one time in my life to say, God, I don't want to know you through anybody else. I want to know you personally. Do you know David knew God personally? Moses knew God personally. God and Moses talked face to face. David was a man after God's own heart. And yet, he has written most of the biggest book in the Bible. The songs that he wrote have moved generations. So Psalm chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Stop and think about that. There's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were removed. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Again, think about that. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bows and cuts the spears in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Rob, would you take his to Phil? I forgot my own tithe. It was hiding in my Bible. All right, get to my notes now. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, God has promised to be our place of refuge. Right here. It says it right off the bat. God is our refuge. And I hit it too many times. God is our refuge. It doesn't matter where we are. God is always there. You can't always come running to the house of the Lord, can you? You can't always go calling your friends. You can't sometimes you're, why can't I get hold of anybody? There's one person who's never, ever left you, and that's God. He said he is our ever present. He's there at all times. He'll protect you. He'll give you the strength to carry on what he's called you to do. Because God knows that the devil's out to kill you. The devil's out to destroy what he has done. He'll also give you the assistance in your call. Let's go up to verse 6. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. People are always in conflict. They're always in conflict. Nothing has changed since the garden. Cain and Abel were in conflict. Way back when. Is it any surprise that we're in conflict? How many different wills do we have in here today? Well, look around you. Each person has their own will. They have their own agenda in this life. What do they want to do? Where they want to go? I don't like being told where to go. Marine Corps did that for 4 years. You're going here, this is what you're going to do. I don't want to go there. You're going to Camp Lejeune. Great. Okay. Well, then you find out the water was poisoned. Yay. Verses 8 through 9. See with your eyes what the I am that I am has done to those who are waging the wars. Oh, but it looks like they're prospering. Financial prosperity is not a sign of real prosperity. This life is temporal. Very short in reality. Eternity is forever. He made populated places desolate. He brought the fighting to a ceasefire. He took their weapons and their defenses and destroyed them so that he may reveal himself to them. See, all the time we want to do this for people, don't we? I want to do this. I want to help you. God says, I'll do it. Watch. He told us. I thought that had changed. He breaks the bows. He takes away their shields. He burns their chariots. He does that. Now, that's not saying there's not things we need to do, right? Moses had to stretch out his staff over the Red Sea. He had to do that. He had to do that, and when he turned around, he had to do it again. And when he did that, the waters came crashing down. And to this day, in the Gulf of Aqaba, there are Egyptian chariots. Oh, but no. According to tradition, it happened up here where the water's knee-deep. There's another miracle. God drowned an entire army in knee-deep water. Go figure. No. There's evidence of things. But God doesn't always let us go to find that actual evidence until it's the time. You want to know why? Because we will create a worship of it. Is there anybody in here who's been to Israel? Okay, nobody. No problem. I've never been there. Thought I'd like to go, but right now I'm staying put in America. I was talking with Bob Montgomery the other day, and he's like, he said, I got people trying to get me to come into Kiev. He said, that's a hard no. They said, we can bring you into Poland, we can bring you in by car. And he said, unless it's a thus saith the Lord, I'm staying in America. I said, amen. But you see, if you go over there, what they're going to do is they're going to take you on the tour. This is where the crucifixion took place. This is the sepulcher of where our Lord and Savior was buried. This is the place where he was born. We created shrines out of them, places of worship, idols. We create idols at every opportunity. Oh, this is to be worshiped. This is a house of worship. You are the church. I don't care about this building. I mean, I do. But it's a building. It's warm, right? It's cool in the summer. We stay dry. That's all its purpose in life is. It is nothing special. This is nothing more than a 42 by 72 pole barn. That's it. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, not in this building. Because trust me, if you're in here by yourself at night, anybody ever been in a building that has a lot of metal on it? That metal changes, and it pops, and it creaks. And you're in the dark, because I like to walk around in the dark. I'm still proving to myself. Sometimes I can be stupid, walk into things. But I don't always turn on the lights. And you're in here by yourself, and you hear things popping, and okay, who's in here? And it sounds like people are walking on the roof. That's how the popping goes. But nonetheless, I have digressed. God will do all this stuff. He will fight the fight. Do you know why? Because he wants to show them who he is. He showed all the world. He showed Pharaoh who he was when he closed them walls down. Why? Because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they were not operating under his anointing. They were operating under, as Jesus put it, the spirit of Antichrist, against the anointing. And so we have to learn. We have to learn to trust God. The hardest thing for me has been to learn to trust other people with my life. That's a hard thing to do. What do you mean I got to trust this guy? I don't know this guy. And I had a guy in boot camp who was covered in anarchy tattoos. I hated having to hold his feet during sit-ups, because inevitably the drill instructors were going to come by and they were going to see all those skulls with the A's on their foreheads. He had at least 100 of them. He was covered in anarchist tattoos. Doesn't go well in a government organization. And so inevitably, I'm sitting here saying, I'm going to trust you with my life. But I know doggone well you're going to draw fire to me from the drill instructors, because you pay together. And inevitably, they came along and they did it. So I've had to learn how to trust people that I didn't know, different races, different creeds. God wants every one of us to trust him. You're in a fight. Yes, you're always in a fight. Always know that. Wherever you go, you're in a fight. It may not be the heat of the battle right at the moment. You might not be in Fallujah, but you're in a fight. And you need to trust God in it. Because in verse 10, he said something. He said, be still. Shh. Let me tell you exactly what that word means. To relax. Is that what you want to do in war? It's not what I was trained to do in war. As a matter of fact, when any time we knew it was a drill, but every time there was a drill that came up, man, we were ready to go. Let's go. We got our stuff. We were out on the front lawn. We're like, let's go. Forget to lock the building up. We're going to war. That's what we were trained to do. But then there was something when we figured out that we weren't going anywhere to do anything. We had to relax. It means to leave alone. To let drop. God was saying, David was saying, through the Spirit of the Lord was saying to David, he said, let it drop. I don't have anything. Uh-oh. That didn't look good. He said, let it drop. Don't hold on to it any longer. You can't do anything about this. I know the situations in my own life that I've had that I'm like, I want to change that for you. And God said, what are you going to do for them? Well, this is what I'm going to do, Lord. He said, how about let me do that? God has shown me through the years that I have to give people the same grace he gave me. And he's shown me that my point of even existing at this juncture in life was to get you to know God, not through just a book. Personally, there's going to be days I'm going to promise your heart's going to fail. And you're going to want to just not get out of bed. And then there's days you're going to walk along and say, okay, I got through that. And then the devil brings out the Louisville slugger and takes a swing at you. And all God ever said was be still. And know. The word know, I forget how many times it shows up in the Bible. We read about it in Genesis right off the bat. And Adam knew Eve. Y'all know what they did. They created babies. They had an intimate knowledge of each other. God was saying, because it's the same thing. God was saying, have an intimate knowledge of me. Know who I am. That's why I couldn't say anything, because I knew who God was. God didn't bring us this far to let a stupid accident kill our son. That doesn't mean that always great outcomes show up. I know several of you have gone through some heartbreaking things. God knew the rest of the story. God knew more than we know. And so we've had to learn to keep our mouth quiet and just relax. And breathe. Well, it sounds like you're meditating. Well, the Bible does tell us to do that. But not sitting in a circle with our legs crossed in some ungodly pose that's going to cost you down the road or whatever. He said, just be still and know. Have this intimate knowledge of who I am. I've had to trust God with my family. Not just my sons. My brothers. 6 combat tours with the oldest one. Silver Star. The youngest one has got combat as well. I think he only had to do 1 tour. But he was what we always called the more sensitive one. His heart was more tender. My brother Chris and I, we were a little different. Me, I wanted to go. Kick butt, take names, hoorah. God had something different. But back then, the more noise you made, the better. And all God was saying to us is, I need you to calm down. I need you to relax. Let the problem you've got into my hands. Drop it into my hands. You can't change it. I can. Why? Because he just told us, I'm the one that can take away their defenses. How many of you have ever gone to God with a problem and the first thing you do is, God, this is why I'm like this. I'll get my hand in the air. This is why I did that, Lord. You know what's been done to me. You know, Lord. And the reality is God said, you know what? But you made the decision. You're the one who did that. I know, and I dealt with them. But you are responsible for your decisions. I disobeyed the word of the Lord, spoken to my ear to cut one stupid tree down. And I live this day with the pain in my back to remind me of what disobedience can do. Brother, we just need to lay hands on you until that's restored. It's probably not happening. Jacob contended with God. You know what that means? It means he opposed God. He fought with God. I said, no, I don't want that tree down first. I want that one. Anybody understand what that is? That's called contending with God. Jacob did it and he had to walk with a limp the rest of his life. I don't know if God's going to totally heal my disc or not. I can feel it some days. Some days I can't. Praise God. I will praise him anyhow, and I'll keep on doing what I'm supposed to do. Just have to sit down more often. But that's what disobedience, to not listening to him. And when he tells us to be still about something, that we can't change the outcome, it's what he means. Just let it drop and let it be in my hands. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to pray for many people coming through here. Pastor, pray with me. I need a miracle. I need a breakthrough. That's great. Are you letting the problem in God's hands? Well, no, I got to do this. No, you ain't got to do anything except trust him. Put the situation here. See, I've prayed for all of you to get to know God the way I know him. God has spoken to me audibly. And yet, I still messed up. So God continues to work through us, continues to move. But we have to be obedient. We have to let him have this. If I'd have just submitted my will to him for that one moment and cut that tree down, there'd have been no problems. Quit yourself. Let go of the situation, leave it alone, and learn for yourself who I am that I am really is. He made a way before. He'll make a way now. He will make a way in the future. You have to let him do it. I've prayed for my own children. Lord, I want them to know you. I want them to know that when they're alone, they're not alone. Because there's a lot of times you feel lonely, don't you? Whether you'll admit it or not, the devil comes around whispering in your ear, oh, you've messed up too much for God. Nobody has done that, folks. Nobody has done that. Not in here, anyway. He whispers these lies to you. You're never going to amount to anything. Your past, if people only knew your past. It ain't your past that matters, ladies and gentlemen. It's your future. And your future is different if you will let God have your problems. And sometimes that means the problems that you're carrying for other people. It's their problem. I've watched my boys. I've prayed for them. Lord, I see what they're struggling with. I see them. They're hurting. They're struggling with this, and I need you to teach them. Well, God sent my middle son, who is a lot like me, to the Navy. He's getting to trust God. I'm really getting to trust God because I'm like, Lord, do not give him new orders. Do not give him new orders. You hold them orders. He was supposed to be on one of the ships that deployed right off the bat. And it was an amphibious assault ship with 2,000 Marines on it that is still currently over there. My oldest, I saw him struggling. And I prayed. I said, God, you've got to help him. He's a good man. But if he doesn't conquer this, it will destroy him. He finally obeyed the voice of the Lord. He's going somewhere else. Not because he hates me, but because it's where he needed to go. He needed to get out. I remember being a young man. I got to get my wings. I got to fly. I can't speak as far as young women. Sorry. Sometimes you feel the same need. But for most young men, they have to establish themselves sometimes. This is my family. This is my household. Not everybody has to do that. I did. And then God brought me back. If we will let God do what he's going to do in our lives, we can sit back and just relax. While the war is waging, we can relax. We can be like Jesus in the boat, up there asleep, using some burlap bags as a pillow. Storms raging all around and everybody else is freaking out. Lord, don't you care? We're going to die. We're all going to die. He said, where's your faith? Where is your faith? And they're like, it's in the bottom of the ocean right now. He said, shh, be still. Right? That's how it translates. Be still. That's what we have to tell ourselves. We have to tell ourselves, our spirits, be still. When I was sitting in that hospital waiting, we knew they had operated on. They're like, he'll be out about such and such time. 3 hours after such and such time, they finally come just to say, can you come talk to him? He's not waking up. I had to go, shh, be still. And calm myself, knowing that God was in control. Because what they'd been trying for 3 hours, Mama and I got there and held his hands. And we prayed for him. And then I felt him squeeze, just the slightest. It's amazing when you're quiet, when you're calm, the slightest movement you can feel. It might have just been this little muscle here, but it moved. Half an hour later, they removed him from that area and put him in a room. And he began to make recovery after recovery, all to the glory of God. That doesn't mean the devil has stopped attacking him. And we remind him of that. But we also have to keep reminding ourselves day to day. It's because you're kind of like our kids, even though some of you are my age or older. That's how I feel about you. And you had your heart attack. When you lost your son, Our hearts broke too. But we had to be still and trust. We said, no, he's not going anywhere. Lord, we don't understand why, but we will trust you. Crap's going to hit your fan every time you get a chance. That's all there is to it. It's going to hit you. But you have to trust God in it. I'm not saying that 2024 is going to be the year that the stuff hits the fan. I'm saying if it does, trust God. I hear so many, I had somebody the other day say, I don't know what you're feeling, but I'm feeling 24, something bad's going to happen. Something bad happens every year. And I don't care to know the future. Right? I don't know about you, but I just assume not know that the train's going to hit me. As opposed to be standing there frozen in fear, knowing I can't move. But knowing that God has a will for my life, and if that train's going to try to hit me, God's going to stop the train or move me. That's how you got to look at it. God had a call on my life, had a way. He has a call on your life, and I'm part of it. He didn't let that tree kill me or paralyze me. God did that. And the reason he stopped it on the second time was because he told me to do something, and I did it that time. I stood up. So, you got things you're fighting with. Whether it's you, whether it's your kids. Love them. Show them nothing but love. It doesn't mean sometimes you can't say something, but you don't need to take on that burden. If it's consuming you, you haven't given it to God. That's just all there is to it. Yeah, I mean, I know your grandsons were over there as well. You got to let God have it. The only thing I could say, because I only knew my brother went over for sure two times. He never told anybody about the other ones. The only thing I could say is when they left, I had to say, God, I'm putting them in your hands. I know what you did for me. And I know what you'll do for them. And I know what God has done for some of you in here. And he'll do it for your kids. But you have to trust him. I forget what. I'm trying to remember now. It was an actress whose parents were she was in her 20s. And they were controlling everything in her life still. At that point, it's hands off in my book. I'll help when you need it. Always know I'm here. But you know, when we moved back, I would have been 20, going on 25. I was 24. Been on my own since 19. The only people to tell me what to do usually had stripes or brass on their shoulders. Other than that, nobody told me what to eat, where to go, when to sleep. And so when we moved home, we didn't have a home. And Bob and Karen generously opened up their home for us till we could find one. And it was great. It was just the four of us. You know, they had their lives, we had ours. But you know what was inside of me? This isn't my home. I got to find a home. And then we had to start trusting God. And we found one house in this entire county that was for rent at that time. You think the rentals are short now? Back in 95, they were pretty scarce. One house. And I always tell people, it needed a fragmentation grenade dropped in it and run. It was so bad. But we learned to trust God there. We went through our wilderness time there. And again, nobody ever did anything to make us feel uncomfortable. It just wasn't where I was supposed to be. I mean, shoot, I could have got used to that, not having to pay the bill. I don't think that went much longer, but but you see, God has great things for you. He has great things for your children. And the greatest thing you can do for your children and your loved ones is to let them learn who he is. You got to let go of that bicycle. I honestly cannot tell. I think I know where I learned to ride. There was a state park up by Cleveland. And I remember my dad taking my bike out, and it was a dead-end cul-de-sac, and I would ride around that. And I think that's where he took my training wheels off. Might have been a big mistake on his behalf, because it wasn't long after that when I figured out you could take a brick and a piece of wood and you could make a ramp. You know, Evel Knievel was our hero back then. And I'd modify my bike. Only y'all seen the videos where guys are riding bicycles and the front tires come off? Done it. Been there, done it. It is as scary as it looks. Because you know I'm going over those handlebars. But he had to do it and trust God, even though he didn't really know God at that time. He had to trust. He knew I was going to bounce my face off the ground a few times. How Gen X ever lived beyond 3 is beyond me. Yet here we are. Trust God. Be still and know him. God, I'm going to watch what you do. Do you know how good God is? They didn't tell us until we were about to check out that he was supposed to die. Nobody thought he was going to live. We kept hearing the code, code 1, code 2, code 3. And Angela found out he was brought in code 1. His ICU nurse told him, I've seen kids with less injuries die. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It was a testament to them of what God can do. And I tell you not to stir up emotion like it's trying to do to me, but as a reminder of who God is. He was the God who's right there with David, who said, the battle is not yours. The battle is not ours. It is the Lord, and he will deliver without the sword and the shield. David went down as one of the most heroic warriors. And as a matter of fact, even after that, they sang songs about him. Do you know we only have one record of that battle of him killing only one person? Goliath. But you see, him overcoming that enemy created the flood of courage and faith to rise up in his brothers and his countrymen. And they came out and they killed him. Because remember, there was an armor bearer with a Goliath. I mean, his spear was ridiculously heavy. He may have had 2, but guess what happened to them when their hero hit the dirt? They dropped what they had and took off running because they knew something was up. Because David didn't back down and he trusted in God. Probably 130 pounds soaking wet. Still green behind the ears, right? And went with him with a slingshot. God didn't deliver with the sword. He delivered with a rock. We'll stop there. But I'm telling you this. I know some of you are dealing with some things. Let God deal with it. If it means you have to just back completely off, you back completely off. God, it's in your hands. I'll not worry about it. I'm not going to think about it. They need to know you personally as well. Everybody needs to know God. And if my parents or my parent, Bob and Karen had stepped in and tried to be God to me, I'd have never opened my heart up to start this. But I had already been at that point and learned to trust God. I don't know what your future holds. We got people of every stage. We got people just really starting out in their life, others retiring. Well, you're still here, you're not done. So just continue to trust God, because everything he's doing has a purpose. Amen? All right, let's stand. Again, real quick reminder, guys who want to go to the fishing expedition, meet with me. Just come out there in the hallway and meet with me first. Then you can say hello and goodbye to everybody else, because we need to get dates down. If you'll let Matt know, because I know he was one of them who said he kind of wanted to go. I'll get everybody's consensus on the dates, because he's already booking up. So, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you, Lord God, that you are on the throne. You are in charge. Father, help us all to surrender our concerns to you. Father, we know that these things, we're watching people do stupid things. But until we come to the end of ourselves and our own stupidity, Lord, we will keep doing it. So, Lord, I thank you that you're moving miraculously in the lives of us, our loved ones, our friends. Father, I thank you that you're moving, that you're dealing with these problems. Help us to surrender them and leave them in your hand. And now, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're healing those who couldn't be here. And Father, we pray that you bless Tim and Sarah on their way home. Set your angels round about their car. Protect them, Lord, and let them enjoy this time. And maybe even, Lord, bring some of that warm weather up to us. But Father, bless these. Bless all the people here, Father, those who watched from home today. Lord, I bless them. I thank you, Lord God, that you're moving in their midst. In Jesus' name, amen.